Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 13th of May, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Let's all say good morning to Avi. You have to go home, Avi. You married that woman. You got to go home and talk it out with her over some hot dog's house. I don't know what that is, but here we go. It was a fun-filled weekend. I went to the Best of the Best Rake and Scrape concert. It was a great time. There were some organizational issues, but the performances were spectacular. I got to see Pat Ramming perform live. Baintown Woman. I got to see Elon Moxie perform live. Oh My Andrus. Veronica Bishop and Sherrod Taylor. Sherrod performed live. I mean, it was a great event. And I can't even say marred by. It was a great event. It will be even greater with some attention to organizational details. There's also the Junkanoo Alumni Fest event this weekend at the stadium. I saw a post saying that there were roughly possibly 4,000 people out there to support that event. There was a little, I don't want to say, I would say little, because from all reports, the fight didn't mar the event, right? But it's unacceptable. It's intolerable. And Junkanoo, any expression, performance of Junkanoo must be one that brings us together and does not separate us, even if it is a competition. And Struggles and Dreams premiered at UB this weekend. I'm going to need you to call your local cable or television provider and let them know you want them to carry the show Struggles and Dreams. The Best of the Best Fest, the flyer I saw said doors open at 6, all access $60. But the show didn't start till 8:30. And I'm mad because I had to go home before I catch the rest of the show. Mr. Nuri, I'm like Cinderella. I got to be home before the bell tolls, or else I turn back into a Chicchani. So I couldn't stay for the rest of the show. I missed Shad Cawley and the VIPs, Gino D, Shine. I missed the Nishi LS. I missed a lot of the performances, but what I did catch, Pat Ramming live, Elon Moxie live, Iron Store mashing up the stage, Mama D mashing up the stage, Veronica Bishop and Sherrod mashing up the stage. It was a great time. A texter said, Miss Green, if you saw the video, you realize whenever there are drums, there might be a fight. But have you noticed that there's never been a fight in the history of everness over flutes? You ain't never see somebody them fluting away in the parade start fighting. You know what, texter? That's a very interesting text, right? Because we believe that the drum has spirit in it. We use the drum to communicate. The drum has power, right? And so perhaps what it means is that those who carry drums in your cultural practice, your cultural event, must be the most disciplined among your participants. They must set the standard. Self-control, discipline, poise, right? Then you instill in those who have the honor, because it's an honor. It used to be a rite of passage. You have the honor of beating the drums, that you always remember you have a standard to uphold. Morning, Mr. Nuri. How you do?
Good morning. This morning, I'm glad that you went to the Rake and Scrape. Was it a festival or was it a concert?
I mean, it was a fest.
The best of the best.
Right. It was a concert, but it was such a grand concert. There were so many artists performing, right? Mm-hmm. I'd say you could call it a fest. I got there at 7. Like I said, the music didn't start till 8:30. But they played music straight through. It was a good time.
Who was the host band?
So,
or they had different...
They had two different house bands. The Falcons, I presume, played the first half. And then Chad Cawley and the VIPs played the second half. Because I know Chad Cawley and the VIPs backed Shine. So that was in the second half. And the Falcons.
Okay.
And they performed. The first song, you know, Squeeze Me. I wanna love you like lovers do. There you go.
Hold you tight.
All through the night. Beautiful, right? So it was a good time. I come to you right now, caller. One thing I was disappointed in is the lack of tourists. You were right next to Breezes. I'm not saying that I want to set a standard of subsidizing tourist participation, right? But if you have that on Breezes grounds.
So close.
Yeah. Should it encourage
on
them?
On Main Street, let them know.
As a part of your hotel stay, if you are a Breezes guest, you could come into the concert. You know, I think we saw some tourists there and they were enjoying it. I brought some friends who are Bahamian, but they live abroad.
Okay.
They had a ball.
Nice.
It was a great time. It's just that, I wish I could have made the best out of my time there and had more actual stage performance.
Okay.
DJ is carrying on bad.
DJ too?
Well, they have... The doors open at 6. Performances didn't start till 8:30. Okay. So a DJ handled, they handled the vibe. And sweet Bahamian music. And some songs I'd never heard before. All through the evening up to the performances.
Nice.
It's great. Okay. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, David Sackler. Always along with you. And on you, Aaron.
Good morning, Brayman. How you do?
I'm all right, thank God. We need justice law and order in this country, the Bahamas. But what I got, my main reason for calling you, right? I don't think it's the drums. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Drum is a rhythm instrument. I think it's the alcohol in which people consume when they go through situations as such.
I mean, I think that alcohol and intoxicants, right, play a big part in it. But that doesn't remove the drums. But that's the point. If you are drumming, you can't be drunk. You can't be...
You should not.
Lit up, right? Now, if you say to me, I'm an African, and it's a part of my drumming practice, libations. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you something. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm hearing you.
What was the poisons that started or was fighting? Was it the drummer? Was it any of the musicians?
So, what I have assessed from anecdotal information from people who were there, people who were part of the event, the first thing I heard was that one of the alumni groups was coming through, like they were going to the gate or they were performing, and somebody pushed one of them, and that started the ruckus. Like somebody intentionally pushed them. And that started the ruckus. And then I saw the videos I saw included what appeared to be primarily drummers, a lot of people with big drums in their hands. But There's been, I was looking in the papers today to see if there's a report on that. So when I get home this evening, I'm going to check the RBPF crime report and see.
Yeah, because it doesn't show that the drummers or the drums were the problem. It had to be people that were filled with alcohol.
Right. No, it can't be the drum itself. And it can't be the drum beat itself. I agree with you, Brayman. It can't be that.
Thank you.
And so we should, I mean, there should be tons of studies on this by now, but these are the things we should be focused on. Another thing that came up for me after watching clips of the event and hearing, most importantly, the commentary from people who attended the event, Mr. Nuri, is that maybe the Junkanoo parades, the way that Junkanoo is perceived and practiced and the emphasis put on the Bay Street parades stifles or hinders the natural evolution of Junkanoo, because I didn't imagine that so many alumni, right, so many people would have been able to organize themselves for such a large and grand event. Mm-hmm. And the costumes, mm-hmm. some of the costumes were huge considering it was an alumni event, mm-hmm. right? And so maybe Junkanoo would be evolving at a faster pace, at a broader pace in different ways, if those who were in charge of it sort of practiced differently, engaged differently, opened for more opportunities for Junkanoo to be experienced by Bahamians, as opposed to us always sort of focusing on ways to make money with Junkanoo, which tends to be providing opportunities for tourists to experience it.
I appreciate your critique, right? But I was reminded by Arlene Nash and who else was there? Anyway,
a Junkanoo consortium,
yes. That Junkanoo belongs to the Bahamians, right?
Yeah.
It's the parade that is private.
Right, I know.
Right? Any Bahamian, and rightly so, can host a Junkanoo event, just like the alumni event.
Right.
So I hear your criticism, right? But Junkanoo allows anyone to go and do what it is and to expand.
Right. The leaders are not restricting who could practice. But is it possible that the diversion of so much resources to the parades, right, sort of stymies the potential for it to grow in other ways.
And I hear you again.
Yeah.
And like I said, the criticism I'm not denouncing, because I appreciate what you're saying. But the primary spending or expense is privately owned by the individual.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I'm assuming that those people who participated in this alumni event spent their own money.
Right.
And they spent their own money, they vested in it. And it was as grand just as well. We just need more people to be committed to, hey, I want to have another Junkanoo event separate and apart from Bay Street.
Here's what I'm thinking. I would imagine that those alumni groups were bolstered by people who also participate in the parades, people who are also members of B groups and A groups.
Yeah.
Right? The same resources that they use for this event would have otherwise been diverted to the main festivals.
Yeah.
Would a collective decision amongst leaders, right? Like, say they put a cap on spending for the parade, and that's incorporated into the judging. So when you are judge, you're judging the costumes, but you also understand that every group was required to come under $500,000 for total costs, right? And so your assessment of what they've produced is also based on the budget that they had to produce it.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that members spend less money at the Junkanoo parades and may have more money to divert to other expressions and practices of Junkanoo. I'm throwing it out there.
I hear you.
Yeah, man.
I hear you.
But
I'm just glad it was a successful event.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they pulled it off. That so many people attended to be spectators and so many people attended to participate.
Mm-hmm. One of the things about the Rake and Scrape Fest, when we left about 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
I realized that the parking, the formal lot parking had already been exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
and people were parking on the medians.
Yeah, I get vexed every time I see that.
Parking on the sidewalks. And so I think, like, at this point, it's time for organizers of major events to be held to account that you also have to organize parking and transport and road management as a part of your major event. We're so happy that we left early because I couldn't imagine. I mean, I could imagine being stuck. I could for an hour just trying to get out of my spot. And then another hour just trying to get out to the Breezes Roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
And so, especially if you're serving alcohol. That's the next point. If you're serving alcohol at an event, I think you, the event organizer, should have a statutory obligation. It should be written into law that you have to have road and traffic management commensurate with the size of the event.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have police there, whether they are there as a part of the police staff association.
Yeah, perhaps the police staff association need to lobby and say, hey, we can offer a service.
Right, a formalized, standardized service that other organizers can adopt, even if they're using private security primarily and then police to top it off.
Mm-hmm.
These are great events, but for them to grow, all of the logistics have to be in place.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, caller.
Aaron, I called back for the simple reason that I want to herald that the teachers, right, should be paying more attention to children that are missing school. I was in conversation with some youngsters, recently, right? And one of them were in the 10th grade. I asked him why he's not in school. You know, he were in the 10th grade. And he explained to me that he's going to work. Mm-hmm. So he's going to get a job. I said, why are you going to get a job and you're only in grade 10? He said to me, all he wants is to make $6 to buy himself a gun.
Okay.
So my point is, where those children are out of school, the teachers should put more interest in them being out of school because you don't know what they're planning and why they're not in school.
Thank you. Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you.
That's extremely important. Extremely important because I was waiting for you to say, the young man said, look, I got to get a job because my mother is struggling. Mm-hmm. Even with the one job she have, it's not making any sense. Even if for a short period, I need to get a job so I could help my mother catch up on these bills.
And he should be in school.
I'm with you, Brayman. I agree, Brayman. There's no excuse. He should be in school, but we understand the economics of the day don't afford that. What should be a right, they don't afford that privilege to everybody. I got a couple of texts here. First text, great show as usual. If Minutes get back in power, I beaten the drum to run him away. Is Minutes in the paper on Friday, Mr. Newry? There's a story where he is concerned about the FNM party having association elections.
Yes.
Pre-association elections, pre the convention. I'm trying to find. I thought I had the Friday's paper with that story in it. But perhaps that's not the right paper. That was a really interesting story. In today's Guardian, we have the story, I believe I'll get second chance. You already got a second chance. Your constituents reelected you, even after you call a snap election. I believe I'll get second chance. Former Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis said he believes that Bahamians would, if given the chance, re-elect him as prime minister. Wow. You certain the people of Kalani can give you a chance? You would start with them first. You have to start with them first, sir. We can get back to that in a moment. Call, I see you. I'll come in a moment. What is an alumni event? Was this a Junkanoo group? Was this best of the best? No. There were two. I was talking about two events. There was the best of the best, Rake and Scrape Explosion, and then there was a Junkanoo alumni event where I presume that alumni associations from various high schools throughout the country organized groups to participate in a competition on Saturday. Another text, good morning, Aaron. I agree with you. No matter how great a festival is, if it doesn't start on time, it can truly spoil the entire event. My husband and I have been supporting our festival over the years, and whenever we find out that there is a particular person hosting, we just know that the show will start late. What I dislike the most is the disrespect to the paying spectators. They come on the stage and never apologize for their tardiness. Great show. My husband and I left at 1 a.m. Recommend that they work on starting on time next time. Yes, I think there was one of the MCs that didn't realize that some people had been there for two and a half hours waiting for the show to start. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'm all right. I looked for you at the show, but I didn't see you.
That says in my best incognito mode.
But listen.
Yeah.
The show was only 15 minutes off. I was timing it myself because I know the person.
Now, what happened to me is every flyer I saw said doors open at 6, so we presumed that the show would start at 7:30 the latest.
No. 6, you get there, get your parking and all of that, and you sit there and but the show started at 8 o'clock.
It started at 8:30.
That was probably a mistake on the flyer then.
Yeah, that's what I'm presuming. I just presume it was a mistake on the flyer.
Yeah, but I want to commend the gentleman that put on that show for him. He had me captivated the whole 5 hours. The only show I went to that had me like that in my lifetime was Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in college in Houston. And to see somebody captivate you for that amount of time, I think it was excellent. Now, my point is this. The government always talk about they want payments to be entrepreneurs and to do things and all that. I would think a show like that should be out there on the wharf by the cruise ship 4 times a year because they have the practice and people have other things to do. But a show like that,
mm-hmm.
the government should inculcate that because that's the whole idea behind how they built that thing out there.
With the amphitheater?
Yeah, the amphitheater. So I can't see why they wouldn't want a show like that at least 4 times a year because these people are professionals.
Uh-huh. And
I was asking for any little problems and all of that in the show because I'm a critic when it comes to these kind of things, especially behaviors. But I thought it was excellent.
Oh, man, listen, so, the performances were great. The DJ had the sweetest music. Like, so from 6 until the show started, the music was great. My problem is I didn't bring a chair. And
you should have got a Skybox.
Listen, when I got, I wish I could afford.
I had one.
But
that was good.
Why you didn't shout my name? I would have Tarzan my way up there, Rapunzel myself up.
I was looking for you. I guess you was way on the other side.
Yeah, one of the only other issues I had was that there was a sign at the gate that said no re-entry, which suggested to me that if I left to go and get my chairs, I'd have to pay the cover charge again to get in. That was it.
Well, yeah, every little thing. You see, we can always critique things once the event has happened. There's always room for improvement. But I would think, though, because listen, you had professional dancers there, professional musicians. The girls were excellent. What's the girl's name?
Shelly Ann Hope, Rika C, and Empress.
Yeah, they were real commentators. I mean, they really kept the show alive while they were changing things or whatever.
No,
so that kind of professionalism, that needs to be displayed. And that could go to Freeport, Exuma, Abaco. These people could really travel and just have that as their job.
I agree.
You want the tourists to have something to do.
I agree. In fact,
and the tourists would love that. They wouldn't expect something like that, if you ask me.
I would you. To come off the cruise.
The government need to swallow their pride. But, you know, if they don't do it, they figure they can't get anything out of it. It shouldn't happen. But something like that, what an individual put on or individual, they need to get with them and don't get just donate to it or make it easier for them to move around and don't have any input in it other than that.
Absolutely.
But once they start to have input to tell you what to do and all that, they mess it up.
I would you. Thank
and you.
So-
give them... You give them only 2 tickets, and anybody in their entourage got to pay.
Yeah,
so they can be successful, and the people get paid who are performing.
That's right. You got to make the profit. You have to make the profit.
Yes. Listen, and the people have to be paid.
Yes, thank you so very much. It was
okay,
a wonderful time. So I got a text there and say, "What are y'all talking about? I'm so lost." So this weekend, there were a lot of events going on. One of them was the best of the best rake and scrape explosion, and the other was a Junkanoo alumni competition. The alumni competition took place at the stadium. The rake and scrape best of the best took place at Breeze's grounds. They also have to do a lot more in advertising and marketing, right? You have to do you have to inundate the people with the message, inundate them. And Mr. Newry, my show today, I guess you could see it's kind of open line, but it was prompted by this article I found on our news last night. Motorcyclist struck and killed by unknown vehicle. Our news, 12th of May, 24. And it was an audio story, so I just have the tag. A traffic fatality on Pontiana Avenue and Mackey Street occurred around 4 a.m. I think that on Sunday morning, the motorcyclist was riding a blue trail cycle that was found in the road. It was a hit and run accident. Traffic police indicate that they see an uptick in hit and run accidents. So we have a whole lot of things going on. We have people who are refusing to get insurance, but they insist on driving cars. Some cars are not insured. Some drivers are driving cars that are insured, but they are not insured under the policy that covers the car.
Mind you, I was going to derail what you're saying, right? To go on and just throw in another topic, right? Mm-hmm. This came to my head, but you...
Say it. I can write it down. And we
no, I can remember that one. This is more important. That's right. So let me continue with this non-license. If I sell my car to somebody, right? And I still had a license. Like I say, I sell it now and it's licensed till December, right? And I sold it with my license plate on it, the decal still there as I attempt to pursue a new car or whatever it is, right? And there is a hit and run. That's what I'm going to get. If there's a hit and run using the car that I sold to the other person who hasn't transferred over to themselves as yet.
Yeah.
Right? Do I have any liabilities?
Yeah, you have problems. I don't know if it's liabilities, but you get problems. I tell you why. Because under the new system, your plate is attached to your name.
I always thought that, but every time I go and license a new car, they give me a new plate. And I said, now I have I have six different plates where I could have used the first plate because I don't have the car anymore. I could use the first plate. Now I'm seeing why they keep on running out of license plates.
Because
they keep on giving me a new one with a new car.
You're supposed to take the old plate
and put it
on a new car. Unless you're keeping the old car and you're getting a new car, then you need to be issued a new plate. But if you're replacing a car, so this car is no longer going to be on the road. Mm-hmm. I'm scrapping this.
I did all that.
You take the plate off and you're supposed to have the plate attached to the new car.
No. The plate, when you scan the decal,
the
license plate comes up and the name, the type and model of the car. So I had to get a transfer.
You're supposed to go into road traffic and say, I have a new car. Uh-huh. That old car that this plate is attached to, I done scrapped that.
Yes.
I need you to attach this to my new car.
I attempted that and they gave me a new plate. A new plate to go with the new car. And I said, okay, let me just put on the new plate because they didn't do what I said.
Also, if you sell your car to somebody, you're supposed to take your plate off.
Yes, and I understand that.
Yeah, you can't give them the car with your plate, and you can't give them your insurance either. Mm. If you think that you're being covered by the insurance policy purchased by the previous owner of the car, you ain't. Mm. You're not. Don't do that. And if you think you're going to say, well, the previous owner of the car said the insurance allows anybody over the age of 25 to drive it. Mm-hmm. But if your insurance agent finds out that you actually sold the car, you didn't lend the car to this person, you sold the car, and they're driving it under the presumption that they're covered by your policy, the insurance people are going to say, oh, no. Mm. Oh, no. And you run the risk of them canceling your existing policy and not doing business with you at all.
I just want to bring it up because there is a number of hit and runs, right? And I'm assuming that these people purchased the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did not transfer the car over to their name, so they have no new license plate, no new insurance, and drive it for the determined a number of time.
Until the insurance policy runs out.
Yeah. So I'm seeing that happen.
Right. And I guess people think, oh, this plate on the car doesn't expire until December.
Yeah.
it's March. I just bought the car. Why would I go in and get a new license if technically it's licensed?
Yeah.
No, none of that. If you buy a car, you're supposed to attach your own plate to it. The owner's supposed to take their plate back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell you what, to avoid inconvenience, frustration, and possible detention, you take on the burden. Take on the burden of ensuring that the correct information is in the system.
Hmm.
I got a text here that says, good morning, Aaron. There are still no license plates. There's still no road traffic policing strategy either, texter. The two of us in the same bucket. Hopefully it's not a bucket truck that doesn't have any cones to set out in the road when it's working. Good morning, Aaron and Sia. I remember when I was in primary school, there was a group of teachers that went around canvassing the areas looking for absentee students. Do they still do that?
We have truant officers still.
Pardon?
We still have truant officers. Maybe not a lot, but we do have truant officers.
Which is funny because I remember the article with the Ministry of Education indicating that they, in their attempt to recapture all the students who hadn't been attending school, they would have done a walkabout. And it turns out they did do the walkabout.
Yes.
Like it didn't rain or anything. But I don't actually remember seeing the words truant officers in that entire article. So I'm not sure if they do have them or how they operate. But we need them.
Yeah.
All right.
Can police be truant officers? They're traveling on the street and see you home. Why are you home?
The police are watching people drive with cell phones in their hand. They're watching people run red lights and stop signs and are not enforcing traffic. I just wonder if... Let me stick a pin. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. Good morning, Yuri.
Good morning. How you do?
Well, recuperating. Still lost my brother, but I'm still trying to recuperate.
Condolences.
Yeah, thank you. And good morning to your producer. Aaron, heard you talking about the rake and scrape. That is sad. Normally, rape and scrape concert don't have violence.
No, I didn't say there was violence at the rake and scrape
concert. I think there's a fight break or something like that.
Man, Pumpkin Eater, what you doing, sir? What you doing?
Listening to you.
I said very, very clearly. I said very clearly that there was an incident at the Junker New event, not at the Rake and Scrape Festival.
And what the incident was?
Pumpkin Eater, I be honest with you, it was all the information is anecdotal, and I'm not quite sure what the incident is. But I don't really have the time to go back through it right now, Pumpkin Eater.
No problem.
Yeah.
But not that I'm glad you cleared that up, because a lot of folks with concerts I saw and observed, you know, they just came in enjoying their concert. But like you said, you are... Clear it up, though.
Yeah, I mean,
It was good, though,
I mean, the Rake and Scrape Festival was awesome.
That's good.
I mean, I had a ball. I see Pat Ramon performing on stage, and Pat Ramon said, y'all young people think you're going to outperform me tonight? Man.
Yeah, I didn't know he was still performing.
Listen, Pat Ramon, Veronica Bishop, Elon Moxie, our seniors took the stage and bust a hole in it. It was fabulous.
Powerful. So you going to the Cat Island one?
I trying. If I start swimming now, I can be there in time. I got another caller, Pumpkin Eater. Let me go.
All right, have a good day.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Producer, let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning to both of you.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can. There's a little water in the line.
Okay. In reference to one of the callers who called about teachers not being concerned about students.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm a former teacher, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can only speak for myself when I was there. We were very concerned, and I think most teachers are. But let me just say something to you, Ms. Green and Mr. Newry.
Mm-hmm.
The times have changed, cultures have changed, and the time has passed when you could just enter yards, streets, looking for children,
mm-hmm.
because nowadays you have to be so careful how you approach.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can go in another way. And that's why someone mentioned the truant officers.
Yes.
They are trained for that.
Okay.
And even though we are, yes, concerned, because look, we are teaching these children, we want them to succeed.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember one time, not taking up your time.
No, go on.
We were being told, I remember back in the day when I was there, one of the persons in the administration said, well, you know, teachers, you have to show so much love and you must hug a child. And I know about that mm-hmm. because I taught primary school. And then I said to them, but you know, in the United States, you have to be careful how you hug
mm-hmm.
because they can go in another direction. So what I'm saying is not that we're not concerned about these children, but we just can't go yard for yard, street for street, because you don't know what could meet you when you reach out there.
Absolutely.
So let the persons who are trained, let them take that up, and we all will hope for the best, because we do love these children.
How many more truant officers you think that we need?
Oh, many more.
Okay.
There's not enough, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
But to say that teachers need some time, I know we get a bad rap. I often say to people, try a day in the classroom. And I think a lot of people would change their perspective. And I'm not saying for all teachers, because in every field they're a lazy, unconcerned person. But sometimes people, oh, a teacher's supposed to do that. A teacher, look here, please.
Thank you, ma'am.
If you know what these days, but you have a wonderful day, and I'll continue to listen.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. The call got a little distorted at the end, but what the caller said was it would be great if parents had the opportunity to be a teacher for a day. And people had the opportunity to be a teacher for a day so they could understand what the, not just the policy restrictions are, but how the actual job restricts you from doing some things that you may want to do or think are appropriate. That's a new caller, producer. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Fine, thank you. Happy belated Mother's Day.
Thank you.
I know he's the best auntie mother.
Listen, you them Chinese sure did show me. They bring me two mango.
Is Mr. Muri in with you this morning?
I rate you being quiet.
Mr. Muri, mm-hmm. That's impossible. Being quiet is not a part of you. But anyway, good morning to you, Mr. Muri.
Good morning.
Listen, Aaron, on the point about the teachers, mm-hmm. I think it was Raymond who was talking about teachers showing more concern.
Yes.
There is a special needs child in my community. I've been watching for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know who I can call. This person still sent him to school. He's on the side of the road selling whatever he can find, from dry coconut to whatever, whoever allow him to pick whatever fruits from their yard, because the persons in the community would allow him to. I got to the point where I started to buy little stuff for him to sell, like little packs of biscuits and stuff, mm-hmm. because he has a yard full of family and other children in the yard who seem to go to school, but nobody tend to check for him. And he looked like he's about 10, 11,
okay.
And they don't send him to school, and I'm very concerned.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have any idea how the other kids in the yard, in that space, get to school? Do they walk to school, or does somebody drive them to school?
I don't ever see them walking, so it seems like somebody takes them to school.
Okay.
Because the young man, he got bitten by a dog one day. My son was on the path with him,
mm-hmm.
and my son, he was 14, had a little, he took him home, and he was telling them, "Mom, a dog bite him, you all should take him to the doctor," and their response was, "We ain't got time to spend no money on no,"
yeah.
And they call the young child some names.
Oh, boy. That's
so my son got him a bandage, and I said, get some peroxide and something to put on the thing for him. They're not even checking for this young man.
All right, so here are the two places I'm going to tell you to call. Of course, you're going to call social services, and then you're going to call the crisis center. The crisis center may be able to refer you to family counselors, right? Who
mm-hmm.
may be able to give good suggestions on how to engage the family and encourage them to give the child more support. You don't want to be punitive, right? We don't want to be punitive.
What about police officers? Because they always through the area. From time to time, and I'm pretty sure the way I see him in the middle of the day when there's a school day, I'm pretty sure police have passed him on the edge of the road there, on the sidewalk, selling items in the middle of the day on a school day.
Like I say, we don't want it to be punitive, right? We don't want anybody, because when you start separating children from their families...
No, it's not
right.
The separation purpose. I just want to see him, whatever education that
he
can get, whatever
right.
socialization he can get, allow him to get
so
that.
So find the nearest urban renewal center, right? That's where to go. You go to the urban renewal center. and you explain to them that this young man you think can be in school because he shows...
He used to go.
Right,
he used to go.
He's
red, or I think it's orange and brown, I think.
Okay, so he used to go to school. He should go to school because he can do things. He can sell things, right? He can trade. And maybe urban renewal, because they will document it, right? They will say, for 6 months, we have watched this boy, not in school uniform, on the park, selling things when he should be in school. Urban renewal, social services, crisis center.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You are welcome. All right, Ms. Nure, I want to talk about traffic in the last sort of 13 minutes, and I want to talk about the Abaco fires. I saw, I think, in today's Tribune, government sends fire engine to help with Abaco fires. A fire truck has been sent to Abaco to help battle a major blaze. Chief Superintendent of Police Will Hart said yesterday that while the fire is containable, law enforcement officers were sent from New Providence in case it worsens. Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper visited Abaco on Saturday to survey the situation. Volunteer fire chief, and we're going to go to page 5. Volunteer fire chief Danny Sawyer said yesterday, quote, "It's bad right now. We're in Bahama Coral Island. We've got 2 fire trucks here with about 20 firemen." Close quotes. Last month, fire services and volunteers fought to contain 4 separate fires in the Marsh Harbor and Spring City areas, prompting the closure of a section of the island's main road. Mr. Sawyer said it feels like he has been fighting fires for 17 days when he spoke to the Tribune. He was waiting for a truck to return with water to fight the blaze. Quote, "I'm going to try to backburn all of this before nightfall, trying to get rid of all this excess fuel," close quotes, he said. Roscoe Thompson, chairman of the Marsh Harbor City Township, said he did not know many people who evacuated their homes. Quote, "People have been protecting their homes," he said. "That's been a good thing, putting sprinklers on their roofs, watering down their roofs, you know, trying to keep the property damp. And that's been going on through the whole thing." He said the fire was moving northward. "We haven't had rain in 40 days, and it's so dry with the wind, it's just pushing," he said. "That's very little wind, but it's pushing. It's so much fuel. There's so much underbrush, all them trees, all the grass. Everything that's there is just fuel for the fire," close quotes. Earlier this month, police charged an Abaco resident with arson in retaliation to one of the recent fires.
We sent a fire truck down to Abaco?
Right.
How many fire trucks does Nassau have?
I don't know, but I know...
I thought we only had 3.
They need to send one to Andres?
But we only have 3. And mind you, I don't know the right amount of number, but this is the time we need to evaluate what are our resources.
Mm-hmm.
How many fire trucks do we have?
And how many we need
on New Providence?
How many do we need?
Yeah.
When we get back from this break... let me read this text. This text is for that caller. Morning. Please tell the caller she can contact the SCAN unit. The SCAN unit. That's SCAN unit. They can connect the child to social services and counseling as well. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the North Andres fire, and then we're going to talk traffic in the last couple of minutes. Avi, don't go home. Stay tuned to this radio is what you should do. We'll be right back. You're on the clock.
Kenkeg biwo medicala kifwe tetet yo nambay multiple service. Men nou na Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, imaj se sa nou fe. Men bagay pou lot lokasyon nou yo, imaj na Gouverneur ni na Kamakelo. Mem si nou ta bezwen yon radiografi, mamografi, ekografi, or eskaner pou fam gwas, nou gen yo. Yon ekip komisyoner konsey radiolog, setifiye tout employer yo. Yo chak ak prop domen yo. Yo bay dokte ou rezilta ou nan 24 tan. Rele 328-81-57 pou randevou nan Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, lokasyon Kamakelod ou bien imaj nan Grosvenor jodi a.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I ain't going home, no. I ain't going home each and every day.
When I out, I stay out, I reach home.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock. You are on the clock. Let's get back quickly to these fires from Thursday's Guardian. North Andres bushfire slowly coming under control. The North Andres bushfire is slowly coming under control after raging on the island for a month and putting many homes and businesses at risk. Darren Bethel, president of the North Andres Chamber of Commerce, told Guardian Business that the fire is, quote, strange, close quotes, because of the difficulty for firefighters to contain it over the course of the past several weeks. Quote, sometimes the fire just walks across the road, and this has been happening all over North Andres. I just don't know what to call it. It's just strange. I can continue the quotation. The fire was all the way in the back of Conk Sound, and it's almost as if it is traveling underground. It may sound silly, but it is just popping up in different areas. We just really need some rain. Close quotes. I also have commentary here. Island officials brought in an additional fire truck and several firefighters to help control the blaze, said Bethel. But the main problem is that there has not been any rain in Andres over the 2 months. Quote, I saw pictures of the fire in Abaco, and I say if they only were to see Andres, our blaze is much worse. I would like for someone to get an aerial view of Andres. Close quotes. I'm surprised that nobody has taken an aerial view and shared it with the public. Y'all don't have drones in Andres?
The whole conversation is kind of silent. We just don't know what's happening. I'm still shocked now. They haven't sent a fire truck to...
Well, they did say they sent a fire truck and they sent some fire officers. But
to Andres or to Abaco? Which one?
To both.
Okay, good.
Both stories indicate that. But
I'm impressed that we have enough fire trucks to send.
I don't think we do, but that's another story. The point is, why have you not employed... Y'all like to rent things. Why haven't you rented two helicopters and two pilots to operate the bucket helicopters that go and scoop up the water, the fresh water, and then drop it on the fire? Considering the landscape, get plenty holy rock, right? Crabs go underground.
Does
and they come
have
back
fresh
up.
Water? Yeah. I'm just making this thing. I'm seeing it's feasibility, because some people say, oh, you can't get the salt water.
We used to barge fresh water from Andres.
And they haven't done this catch water thing and try to use it?
I don't know. I mean, Ortec is a partner in the community. Ortec is a partner to the government. Why haven't y'all pled the blood of Jesus and say, Ortec, call your boys, them up north, and bring two bucket helicopter? Considering the nature of the landscape and the chamber president saying it's as if the fire is running underground. The crabs is run underground. Mm. Why the fire wouldn't run underground? Another quick headline. Yes, Texas Strange, like in Hawaii, maybe. Bahamas battles wildfire outbreak as tree cover loss trends upward. This is from a website called Atlai World, posted on the 10th of May. The Bahamas has been grappling with a surge in wildfire incidents as recent data indicates a pair of fires in central Andres on May 11th, 2024. This uptick in wildfires is part of a broader trend of environmental concern for the island nation, which has seen a significant shift in its tree cover over the years. Analysis of historical data reveals a troubling pattern of tree cover loss in the Bahamas. Over the past two decades, the country has experienced a net loss of 4,282 hectares, which represents a 4.09% decrease in tree cover. Notably, shifting agriculture has been the predominant driver of this decline, accounting for a substantial portion of tree cover loss each year. A texter says, wasn't Iram Lewis the DRA minister? Didn't he say in 2020 that they'd create a plan for, quote, every, close quote, possible disaster they could that could ever happen? Why don't they implement the island on fire plan? Fire don't run underground, Aaron. It does go under doors, though. But if there's air, see, you'll ever build a fire on the beach, and you build, it's like a Dakota fire. You build a fire under, in the sand. You dig under, and then you dig this little connecting tunnel upwind. So the wind will go through the hole and fuel the fire that's in the hole, right? I think it's possible. Texter, good day, Brother Nuri and Lady Green. Happy, joyous, blessed post-Mother's Day. Greetings to all the lovely and industrious mothers of the Bahamas. Congratulations and enjoy your special blessings always. Mr. Nuri, I hope you had a good Mother's Day. Ms. Green, even trucks with drums and pumps can assist with fire fighting. Why aren't our welders constructing those things? I got 2 minutes. So I found the RBPF Daily Crime Report. And the question I wanted to ask today is, are we at 25 traffic fatalities for the year or are we at 24? I'm just going to read the tags. Police investigate traffic fatalities, 9th of May, 24th. This is the crime report for that day. A 66-year-old man was a victim of a hit and run on the 6th of May, shortly before 7 a.m. on East Bay Street in the vicinity of Montague Beach, struck by a vehicle. Tragically, he succumbed to his injuries. The 8th of May, a fatal crash happened on Wednesday, the 8th of May, claiming the life of a female driver in Grand Bahama. The accident occurred at 2 a.m. Eleuthera, 27th of April. Police on the island are investigating a fatal crash that claimed the lives of two adult males. Grand Bahama, 23rd of April. On the 22nd of April in Grand Bahama, another traffic accident and traffic fatality. 21st of April, police are investigating a fatal crash that resulted in the death of two adult males. 13th of April, Grand Bahama, traffic fatality under investigation. And police seek help in locating driver responsible for hit and run. This incident occurred on the 8th, I think, earlier in the month, where a man was knocked down while trying to cross the Milo Butler Highway. The vehicle in question is described as a red American model vehicle with front end damage. The police are still investigating. And in the Andres accident that killed two people on the scene, a third person also tragically passed away from that accident. This is just the saddest news. Police say traffic deaths unusually high as two more die over weekend. This is all the way from the 22nd of April. Producer, you could start playing the music for me. By May 31st, 2023, 22 people had been killed in traffic accidents. The country has already exceeded that pace for 2024. There were 51 traffic fatalities in 2023. And we just encourage people to drive with sense. Put your cell phone down. It's against the law to use it or have it in your hand while you're driving. Stop turning left on red. The only place you can do it is at University Drive and University Commons. And to the handsome young man in his uniform whites on Saturday, on Friday, that ran the red light at Shirley Street when my light was green and I was driving up to Peck Slope from Market Street. I can't understand why you would have stopped your car with your lodge plate and your uniform whites on to cuss at me because I blew my horn. I'm going to blow my horn while I'm alive. I will not wait until you kill me to blow it. I'm going to continue this traffic conversation later in the week because it's May, my birthday month, and I want to continue to talk about it. Got a lot more stories. Mr. Newry, can I read these texts on in your hour?
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you, Avi. Thank you, producer. Thank you for joining On The Clock. Thank you for the texts and the calls. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM is up next. Come tell me my ducks in the barn. These gals all yelling grass on my lawn. And let me tell you one thing.